Welcome to Ink in Your Veins. I'm your host, Rachel Herron. In this podcast, I talk to authors about the best things they've learned about writing so we can try those things too. I'll keep each episode short so you can get back to writing. Well, hello, writers. Welcome to episode number 428 of Ink in Your Veins. I am here today with my friend, A.K. Mulford. And it's a great chat that we have about getting unstuck. And it's a big one. It's an important one. And it's a delightful one. So stick around for that. What's going on around here? If you ever notice that I get the numbers that I say at the beginning of the show completely wrong, it's because I do. I hope that doesn't bother anybody. I said 428, but it'll probably end up being something else because I'm always off by numbers. That just rolled through my brain. Also, another thing that I want to mention is so cool. So for the Unstuck Kickstarter that we are doing all these extra episodes to support, I told you that we hit the stretch goal at which we get a family portrait of me and Lala and our dog, Junebug. And I put up a Google form that backers could go into and suggest things for us to be doing. And honestly, that's kind of a big ask. You're asking somebody to think about it and be creative and then give me ideas that then we can vote on as a group. And no, they are so fun. I'm dying. I just pulled them up. I hadn't looked at them. This is the first time I've seen them. And I was dying. Somebody said, all of you eating your favorite treat. I wonder if that would be one treat or all of our each separate favorite treats. Sailing on a boat, all three of us. That would fit in with the book. I love that. I would love to see you flying kites together at the beach, playing on the beach. I've got a bunch of beach comments here. Knitting for the dog. Let's see. This person says, how elaborate can this be? I'm thinking you, Lala, and Junebug in a smart car on a windy road, specifically Lombard Street, inspired with Bay Area imagery in the background at the top of the road and New Zealand imagery in the foreground. Top down on the smart car to reveal Lala driving, you knitting shotgun, and Junebug either tangled up in the yarn or yarn ball in her mouth. Dying. You and Lala carrying a large box into your new home, and Junebug has just ripped open the bottom of the box between you, spilling out the contents. This one, listen to this one. You're in a jazz band and Professor Junebug plays the saxophone. But now I'm seeing that. I am seeing that because I am a singer. Me, torchy on the stage, microphone in front of me, Junebug playing the saxophone, and Lala has been learning piano. Lala on the piano, jazz piano, smoky little club somewhere. Oh my God. I have not even, this is another very detailed one. A lighthearted play on not-so-typical activities. Lala should be working with Junebug in your office, packing unstuck books. Professor Junebug calmly writing at your desk in the atrium. There should be hidden things that have meant a lot in the office. The fix and a money book should be on the shelf. A little ambulance or emergency vehicle should be on the desk. Maybe a picture of San Francisco Bridge on the wall. Through the harbor, we can see you outside slipping down a hill or possibly getting blown away by the strong wind. The harbor view should have a little boat on the lake. Are these not gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous? This person says, trying to get something unstuck, pushing a car, pulling someone up out of a puddle, unclogging a toilet. This is amazing. A jump shot where we're all jumping, garden tea party while dressed as ballerinas and or clowns, making pancakes. Oh, these are so good. And they just did my heart so good. Now I really actually want just a series of pictures of all of these. So if you are a backer, you will get to vote on this as I collate them together. I'll probably do that next week and put all the beach ideas together. And then I will send that out and we will vote on what family portrait will be made and put in the book. And I'll probably give it as a digital download too for anybody who might like it. So thank you for helping us hit that stretch goal. The next one is the bonus epilogue. And I think we're about $1,400 away from that, from hitting the $15,000 mark, which I cannot believe. So if you'd like to go over and support and or check it out and or give me a suggestion of what my little family should be doing in this picture that I hire in an artist to render, please go to rachelherron.com/unstuck or Google Rachel Herron Unstuck and it will come right up. Yay, now let's jump into this awesome chat with Allie. Here we go. I am so glad you're all here. I could not be more pleased to welcome to the show today, my friend. Will you please share your name and pronouns with us?
Yes, hi, I'm AK Mulford, and my pronouns are they, she.
Thank you very much. I'm going to give a little quick bio, which is something I don't usually do in this order, but I am doing it for this series. AK Mulford is a best-selling fantasy author and former wildlife biologist who swapped rehabilitating monkeys for writing novels. They are inspired to create diverse stories that transport readers to new realms, making them fall in love with fantasy for the first time or all over again. They also write rom-coms under Ali K. Mulford. They live in Australia with their husband and two young human primates, creating lovable fantasy characters and making ridiculous TikToks. And the last time you were on the show, Ali, was episode number 306, which was way back in July of 2022, which just feels like forever ago.
Forever ago.
And that was when you lived around the corner, and now you do not live around the corner, but I still feel like you do. And I'm going to see you in August at RWNZ. And I take any excuse I can to talk to you, including today, about being stuck and getting unstuck. As you know, the Kickstarter is about being stuck in a way that you put yourself into for a beautiful reason, for many beautiful reasons, perhaps, and then you realize it's untenable for whatever reason. Can you please tell us about a time that you felt this yourself?
I mean, I have many, many times. I think as a fellow ADHDer, we have a tendency to get ourselves stuck. But there's one particular moment in my life when we had just moved house. We had just moved up to Kapiti Coast, and we moved the day after lockdown, or the day starting lockdown in New Zealand. So we were calling up all the movers. We weren't sure if we were even going to get there. We didn't have internet hookup for the first 6 weeks that we were there, you know.
6 weeks. Oh, my God.
No, it was what we were like desperately trying to hook up some wires.
Folks who don't know, Kapiti is up the coast about an hour and a half ish, depending on how you drive. And when you're talking about New Zealand, outside of Wellington, north of Wellington, and when you're talking about New Zealand, an hour is a really long way. In the Bay Area, an hour is like you're going to your friend's house who lives in the same town as you. But an hour here is a really far, long way. Okay, so you make this move.
Yep. And at the time, our kids were, gosh, what were they? Maybe 2 and 4 or even younger. Yeah.
Tiny.
Tiny. And so but I knew we needed to move. Like, I knew we needed to get out of the house we were in. And I was so desperate to kind of make this drive somewhere that we got to this house. And then that ended up being the house that we kind of got stuck in, you know? So at the time it seemed like, okay, this is a right step forward. And instead, we were in this house, we were in lockdown. We didn't know anyone in the town. We have two very little, like at that point, not diagnosed autistic kids, even though we kind of knew it was pretty obvious, you know, one of whom was still at the age where I couldn't leave her side for more than 10 minutes. So I hadn't even left the house to go get a coffee in, you know, 3 years, you know, so I was really, really stuck in this house. And then I also started getting chronic migraines. So I was in bed 3 or 4 days out of the week and just trying to parent and, you know, survive. And the world was very unknowable at the time, and realizing I was going to need to find help for these kids, my two kids. And New Zealand is still not really a great place to get services for autistic kids. And so there was just really nothing there for us to help them. You know, when my eldest was diagnosed, the one advice the pediatrician said was just send her to kindy and good luck, you know.
Oh my gosh.
And we're like, so no, like, speech therapy or, you know, occupational therapy, no services, no groups, and nothing,
and,
you know.
And there was nothing like that on the coast, right? Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Zero.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even in town for us, really.
I love that story of, I think might have been Hazy who was in and getting tested or something, and they they made you bring her to them where she wasn't going to do well, but then didn't understand why she wasn't
Oh.
doing well because she had had to go to them. Like,
And this is a
no concept.
lockdown baby who had never, we weren't even allowed to get out of the house really. And so of course she had a massive meltdown and didn't really even able to complete the tests. And then the doctor who is diagnosing her, now we know both my husband and I are both autistic, and it was very clear. But the doctor diagnosing her said to us, and you're able to have a job, just yeah. Like clearly just had no idea what she was talking about, just generalized pediatrics.
Got the
And
bad kind of goosebumps from that, the chills. Ugh.
yeah. And was just like, okay, well, she, has both autism and global delays, and good luck. And that was basically it. You can join this Facebook group with all these other Kiwi parents who are s struggling,
Yeah.
and I was just like, we gotta get out of here. I had that feeling of just like, we've got to do something. But at the time, even before, how am I, are we going to finance getting out of here? I thought, I need something for myself to survive this. And so I was in a very stuck place, both as a parent and physically in this location and having chronic pain and feeling like, I think a lot of people who are parents feel like they kind of lose their identity in parenting sometimes too. And especially with two kids who needed me so profoundly, and we didn't have any family around. We didn't have any childcare. We didn't have, we, it was full time us with two kids who didn't sleep, didn't, meltdowns, all the things. And I, at that point, I hadn't even heard of carer burnout. And now looking back, I'm like, oh yeah, that is a very real thing.
You were in it, but you were by yourself, and
And
you
with a
couldn't get
partner who
help.
was working remotely but full time.
Right.
And so I was just kind of like the in this very isolated kind of situation and feeling incredibly stuck there. And I thought, if I don't do something to survive this mentally, I can't fall apart. I have to have something, some lifeline. And that was when I asked for my birthday for my husband to buy me a new laptop because my laptop was beyond broken, like 15 years old. And it had all these stories on it that I used to write. And I loved writing and I still would write in notebooks just making up stories, but for a year, for that whole time, I was very hyper focused on self-publishing just as I liked learning about it. Like I was listening to the Creative Pen and just like making little notes to myself about what I would do if I ever started self-publishing. But thought, oh, I would never do it. And I remember getting that laptop for my birthday and kind of trying to play it off of, well, it's cheaper than therapy. We can't afford therapy right now. We can't afford any like a desk or anything, childcare. And so I was just like, I just knew I just needed it. I needed this thing, this creative outlet. And so I'm not a morning person, but I was waking up at 4 a.m. every day to get an hour or two of writing before my kids woke up and just writing this book that turned into the High Mountain Court. And just knowing that this was going to keep me going, even before I knew if it would ever, I thought for sure I was going to put this book out and it would be shouting into the void and it would maybe find one or two readers. But just n knowing that, the way that I unstuck myself wasn't even really about the finances so much as it was about knowing I needed this creative outlet, this thing for myself that I could carve out the time and have this almost ritualistic way of just me and the keyboard in the morning.
It belonged to
And
nobody else but you. It was just yours.
yeah. And things took like a dramatic turn just from that. And I think because I had that just me and the keyboard, that it didn't matter the success after that I always knew I could always come back to that. And that kind of intimacy of writing regardless of what came after that, you know? And so that's something that I'm really grateful for, because I always come back to, you know what I mean? Like, I always know I'll be able to just be me in the computer. So
it gave you that base, that solid, rock solid base, that this wasn't you and a friend. This wasn't you and a partner. This was you and your brain. Just
yeah.
you and your brain that did this. There will be people who did not hear episode number 306. Can you give us like the highlights of what happened with that first book and the second book, and then what popped off?
Sure. Yeah. yeah. So, I mean, when that book came out, I was thinking, you know, my goal was within 5 years, I wanted to make enough to compete with the job I had in conservation. That was my goal, my 5-year plan. And within the first month, I had made that. And that was largely in part thanks to TikTok too. And TikTok was a huge part of me finding a bookish community and author friends.
And
like,
you're a TikTok expert. You're so good at it. If anybody wants to
it's
follow
still my place.
AK there.
I'm definitely, it's my first language is TikTok, just being chaotic, short, you know, goofy, having fun. And it's awesome because there's people who've been around since then who are still, I chat with every day, you know. It's awesome. I know a lot of people have different strategies for TikTok that are less about community and community engagement, but for me, it's about connecting with those people. And I'm so grateful for that. And people were excited about this book, and I couldn't believe it, because, you know, in my day-to-day life, who am I going to be like, I wrote a book about these fairies, but they're like sexy fairies. And they, you know, like, I couldn't talk to anyone about that, you know, and there's magic, and, you know, and so it was so cool to find people who are excited to read these stories. And so The High Mountain Court came out, and the Witch's Blade, the second book, came out a few months after that. And within the first 6 months, I made 6 figures. And by the first 8 months, I had sold over 100,000 copies of those books. And then that series, plus a new series, a new trilogy, got picked up by Harper Voyager about 9 months in. And that
so,
was
I'll
in
just say
a...
it's seven-figure deal. Seven-figure deal. I always will just, I will never forget sitting outside Moira's house. And people, you know, people
you're never
were,
gonna let me live.
I'm never, ever. You know, people were coming to Allie, and Allie was saying, well, do you think I should take a trad deal? And if I did, how much should I take it for? What did you say? Something like, did you say
10,000?
You may have said 10. Should I take 10? Oh, maybe I should hold out for 20. We're like, no, you are holding out. Do you know what you're doing? Yeah. And just the,
I didn't know. I was just so excited.
The pride that we felt in you, which was absolutely unwarranted. We have no reason to feel pride in you. We did nothing about it, but just to watch
it
this.
It was
so
wonderful to get to share that with you. And have people in your corner who are excited
cheering
about it,
the
you know,
whole way. And also, and we knew the whole time that it wasn't about you making money to have fun with, which is fabulous. Like, if a person just makes money and has fun with it, fabulous. But we also knew that you were going to be able to change your whole life. And how did you change your life?
Yeah, as soon as I got the offer, I like immediately burst into tears, because I thought, like, I can get us out of here. This situation that we're in, you know, still chronic pain, two little kids who really needed some sort of autism support network and good people who were, you know, loved them and would help them. And I thought, like, I'm going to be able to, like, save my kids and get us out of here and get us to a better place. And I'm doing it through, like, me and my writing and the money that I've made off of this. And it was just this so overwhelming feeling, but also it felt a little bit like a jailbreak. Like, I was like, we're going, you know. You were there at the time, and I was like, we've got to go. And I just like, so help me. I'm just, we're gonna, you know. And it's so, but as soon as we told their pediatrician we were moving to Australia, they're like, oh, good. Like, they're like, good, you can find all these people. And, you know, and it was such a leap of faith too, that Like you never know, the grass might not be greener. And I just, but I was like, something's gotta be better. Like, I can't live in pain all the time. I need to find something for my kids. And, this money means that we can do this, we can make it happen. And now we've been here a year and a half, 2 years almost. And just the amount my kids have just changed and grown and blossomed and have found people who really care about them and they're so excited to see. And it just is like, it's really humbling and beautiful, this thing that kind of manifested from this desire to like, get out of this stuck place.
And how are your migraines now?
I have had one since I've
Oh
been here.
my God, because you were really plagued
Only
by
one.
the weather, and New Zealand
Yes.
is famous for this the weather pressure that never stabilizes, and for people who are barometrically migraineurs, which you were
Yes.
one, you couldn't get away from it. You couldn't do anything
Yeah.
right to avoid it because
There's
the pressure was
nothing,
going to change.
no amount of painkillers, like nothing I could do. Just had to lay in a dark room. And it was just, and there's like, I think a lot of people know this kind of feeling of hopelessness when you're
Yeah.
in that situation. And I was very lucky to have friends like you who like, gave me something to look forward to in this online community. And the writing was really this lifeline that kept me going through all of that. And now, and I when I came back to New Zealand to go on a writing retreat with you guys and immediately got a migraine.
That's terrible. That was awful. I
Yeah.
hope it does not happen in August. We'll be South Island,
No,
so maybe it'll be easier.
I think we'll be okay. Yeah. But it's pretty incredible to go from that feeling of like, how are we going to get out of this? How are we going to change this? To, me, like, I'd always wanted to be an author, but I thought I would never pursue it because I couldn't make money doing
Right.
it. So the idea that I would be able to move my family internationally with the money that I made writing was like just so amazing and meaningful to me. Yeah.
I am loving asking this question because it also allows my friends to think about it, to dwell in it, and
Yes.
to celebrate it again. Because we really wake up in the morning and we think like, well, I've got to, make toast again and whatever the things are that you
Gotta
have to
send a
do
newsletter and
over and over
yeah.
again. And you forget that you are sitting in Australia talking to me in a house that you bought with money that you made yourself because you asked for a laptop, because you said, my 15-year-old one is not going to do it. I deserve a new laptop. And then look at what happened. You got
It's
yourself
cheaper than
unstuck.
therapy. I'll get this book out there. Yeah. It's amazing. And I feel like there were two almost unstickings. There was the first just knowing I needed to write and writing was going to be my way through this tough time in my life. And then the financial side of things when that also got us unstuck from the first one. So yeah,
But the first one is more important because
it is, yeah.
it changed everything that you knew about who you were. You would have probably believed that you could do that, but now you believe on a cellular level that
Yeah.
you have the power inside you. It's
Yes.
there. That is.
And I'll always be protective of that writing and that kind of sacred space of writing, and it's something I know I'll always have, regardless of even if I'm publishing or not. So,
How do
yeah.
you protect that now? Well, let's wind up with that one. Where how do you protect that time now that you are busier, you've got more books, you've got more stuff to do,
I
but I
mean,
do know that you are a producer.
I like the process of writing. That's
Yeah.
where the most joy comes from for me, is the creation of the stories. But a lot of times now I get out of the house or go write at a cafe or different places. But when I am, it's not a social thing. It's just me and my brain. Even when I'm body doubling and doing writing sprints with other people. And also I tend to not share too much about the projects I'm writing on until they're done. It's just kind of mine at the beginning. And then it goes to the edits and the critiques and all of the things. But like, I kind of protect the creation phase for just for me, And then it might be a book that goes out into the world. It might not be, but like the creation part is just mine. Yeah.
And that creation saved you, and then you could save your family. I always get like teary when I think about it.
I know. I had a little cry about it last time. I was like, wow, look how far we've come. You know, yeah, it's
Gorgeous.
incredible.
Where can
Yeah.
we find you and everything that you do?
Yes. Well, my website is akmulford.com or alliekmulford.com, Ally, Ali. And you can find me on TikTok at akmulford author and all the other socials at akmulford.
And if you're TikTok curious, Ally is a great place to start. You're a very
Tick
friendly,
curious.
curious. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you, my friend, for being here. And I'm just so happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of Ink in Your Veins. You can reach me at my website, rachelherron.com, and you can also support me at patreon.com/Rachel, RACHAEL, where I have all sorts of great stuff for writers for as little as a buck a month. And do sign up for my free writer's email list of encouragement at rachelherron.com/write. Now, get to writing, my friends.